Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
Happy Tuesday. Happy December. Feels like a very long time since we recorded.
It does. And it's only been our normal 2 weeks.
I know.
But I feel like, I mean, so much has happened.
Yeah.
Like, not only just for you being in Europe, but also, like, Thanksgiving, in our family, Thanksgiving.
My birthday party.
Your birthday party.
Dad's surgery. Dad's surgery.
Allie coming home and
leaving
and then coming home again.
Yeah.
Me watching both the dogs. Like, you know, it's just been, like, a lot of things.
We've lived a lot of lifetimes in the past 2 weeks.
Well, everybody was on a plane in the last 2 weeks except for me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is some real bullshit, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to share about your trip? Or?
I would like to, but also I have a whole presentation for, like, the family later.
I'm not going to be able to just sit and listen to the presentation. So if there's one that you... I have to be doing other stuff, Em.
It's 20 minutes.
It's finals week, babe.
I know. It's 20 minutes, though.
100 slides is only 20 minutes.
I can get through it fast.
I'm not buying it. Tell me one good story. Just tell me one story.
I don't want to.
Sorry. All right, well, sorry, listeners, you don't get to learn anything about Emily's trip. She's going to keep it
all. It was really fun. That's all I have to say about it.
So,
trip of a lifetime.
Good.
And
I'm glad it was great.
I didn't want to come back, obviously.
The stuff that you sent was cool. It looked fun.
I can move there in a heartbeat.
Oh, serious? You're going to become an expat.
Literally. Oh. Maybe. We'll see. Okay. My story this week is very short just because, like, what we just kind of mentioned, we've all been really busy in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
it's the holiday season. People don't need 40,000 year long.
And once I got home, I got, like, I had that ear thing and I was sick. So I just, I didn't want to.
I feel like you always come home and get sick right after.
Not really, but the only reason you probably think that is because when we were in Florida last year, I had a cold, but I had the cold the whole time I was there.
That's true. But then the time before that, when you came home from Disney,
I got COVID.
You had COVID right after you went home because I stayed at your house and you stayed here with mom and dad. And
but to be fair, I've been on a lot of trips since then.
That's true.
And I've only been sick 3 out of the...
That's true.
A lot of them. So I kind of figured I'd be sick by the end of this one just because, I mean, we did so much and barely...
Right.
Rested at all.
Right.
So I just had a feeling. But yeah, so this is literally like 4 pages. It's super short.
What's your normal?
Like 8.
Okay.
So it's like half the length.
Okay.
Like I will be shocked if this is 10 minutes long.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. Mine's around 700 words.
Mine's 631. So yeah.
2 shorties.
Yep. And then, are we taking a break for the holidays, too, like we always do?
We'll talk about it off air.
I think we should, so.
Yeah.
I expect a break.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to be telling the story about White Boy Rick. So, Richard Wershaw Jr. was born on July 18th, 1969, to a working-class family that lived in a neighborhood on the east side of Detroit, about 7 miles from the city center. They lived in this area between the mid-1980s to the early 1990s, when Detroit and many other major American cities were gaining widespread reputations for crime and violence, largely due to the influx of drugs like cocaine and the emergence of crack cocaine. So that was right when this was becoming big.
Are those two different things? That's a really stupid question. But
cocaine you snort, crack cocaine you smoke, I believe.
Okay. See, I just thought it was all just cocaine.
So did I. If I'm being completely honest, and I think that's the biggest difference, and I could be completely wrong. Clearly, neither of us are
in the drug world.
Yeah, drug people. So
not the hard stuff, at least.
No. So
caffeine is my drug.
Okay, I lost my spot.
Sorry. I was like, I know it was a bad joke, but
Richard Jr.'s dad was an FBI informant and first reported to the police and the federal agency. So. Okay. I should have put this after my next sentence. Sorry. I'm going to backtrack really fast. So, White Boy Rick was not a street name that Richard used himself, nor was it one that he ever called was ever called by those who like associated with him, so it wasn't his like own nickname.
Okay.
He got that nickname after reporters gave it to him, who would eventually cover his case. So when Richard was 14 years old, he would become an informant for the FBI, making him the youngest known informant in FBI history. So this is where I should say that Richard... Oh, that's fine. Richard Jr.'s dad was also an FBI informant.
Okay.
So they were FBI informants together for a while, and then White Boy Rick went solo dolo on his,
okay.
on his own.
Okay.
He would continue to be an informant for 2 years until he turned 16. One of the most famous cases that White Boy Rick informed on was when he was 16. He told the FBI that a major drug dealer in the area had spoken of paying a bribe to Detroit Detective Inspector, City Council President, and mayoral candidate Gil Hill, say that 10 times fast,
Gil Hill,
in order to quash the investigation into a 13-year-old boy's murder. By the time this case ended up never actually going anywhere, unfortunately, so I don't know if this is true or not.
So
the case was dropped.
Did it? Okay, so the case against the guy saying Gil Hill. He was going to do the bribe?
No.
Or the child's murder?
Both.
Okay, so they're both unsolved?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By the time he had quit being an FBI informant, he had helped them secure 20 different convictions through his infiltration of violent drug gangs, which is kind of impressive. Damn. At 14 to 16.
Yeah, no kidding.
After the FBI ceased employing him as an informant... In 1987, when White Boy Rick was 17, he was arrested for possessing cocaine in excess of 8 kilograms, which is about 18 pounds.
Okay.
So that's a lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
He was sentenced to life imprisonment under Michigan 650 lifer law, which was a drug statute passed in 1973 that penalized those found in possession of more than 650 grams or 23 ounces of cocaine or heroin with life imprisonment without parole.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Crazy.
Holy shit. For drugs?
Yeah. This law was overturned.
Thank God.
But he was rejected as a menace to society by the Michigan Parole Board in 2003, despite having assisted the FBI in the...
No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But despite assisting the FBI and being an informant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly not.
They think he... Well, he thinks it... could possibly be because he did unsuccessfully target Gil Hill, drawing like attention to him as well as other very influential city politicians.
Oh, so it's like retaliation.
Yeah, that's kind of,
I mean,
the vibe I got from it. But
that does make sense.
Yeah. The case gained a lot of publicity in 2017, by which time White Boy Rick had spent nearly 3 decades behind bars in Michigan as a nonviolent drug offender whose offense was committed when he was 17 years old.
Oh my God, that's wild.
This led him to being paroled, but directly to the U.S. Marshals, who took him to begin serving 5 years in Florida State Prison on a 2008 car theft ring conviction, which, yes, was a conviction he got while he was in jail. I'm assuming it happened before he went to jail, and then the case came about when he was still in jail. I couldn't really find much on it, so
that seems suspicious.
Yeah. In 2019, his application for clemency was denied by the Florida Clemency Board. On July 20th, 2020, White Boy Rick was released from custody in Florida, having completed his sentence with credits for good behavior. In July of 2021, White Boy Rick sued the FBI, saying in the lawsuit that, quote, had I not been an informant for the task force, I would never have gotten involved with drug gangs or criminality of any sort, end quote. And that the FBI's actions were child abuse. And that case was dismissed.
Yeah, I can see why that would be.
On March 31st, 2017, at the Freep Film Festival, a documentary chronicling the case of Richard Wershaw Jr. premiered. It was called White Boy, and you can now watch it on Netflix.
I feel like I've heard of it.
If you have any interest in doing that.
But I didn't know what it was about.
So there you go. That is the story of White Boy Rick, the youngest FBI informant.
That is crazy. He did all of that before 17.
14 to 16.
That's crazy.
What were you doing at 14 to 16?
Flirting with boys. I was swimming.
Being a menace to society, just in a different way.
Fucking apparently. Obnoxious.
Yeah.
Being an average teenage girl, I guess.
Literally. So there we go. Super short and sweet episode this week. My sources were Wikipedia, Screen Rat, and Freep.com.
Nice. Crushed it.
Thanks.
Our socials are MWMadnessPodcast@gmail.com. That is also our Instagram. And then Midwest Madness Podcast Facebook group on Facebook.
Cool. You guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Bye.